How would you like to embark right now, tonight, on a discovery of more and more true life so that you've experienced more and more true life before Sunday? How many would you like that? Yeah, everybody. Okay, good. Okay. Well, that's what the Lord gave me to share with you tonight. Out of the Passion Translation, which I really like, Luke 9:24, Jesus' words, he said, if you will choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more true life. You will embark on a discovery of more and more true life. If you'll do this, okay? So this is Jesus' words. So you said, yeah, this is what I want, okay? Then here's what we have to apply. Another verse of scripture that I like, Galatians 2:20, out of the Passion Translation, reads a little different. My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now, everybody say, and now, the essence of this new life is no longer mine. That's very important. For the anointed one lives his life through me. And then notice the next word, we. We. God and me, Jesus and me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. All right, let's get into this. The Christian life is not you trying to live, be a good boy, a good girl. Okay? Or trying not to sin. That's not the Christian life. Okay? It's Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ that walked on the earth. His spirit that was in him is now in you, meshes with your spirit to create a whole new creation that never existed before. The two streams, your stream and his stream, come together and make a new river, so to speak. And this life, if you'll let it happen, if you'll let him lead, this is where you'll embark on discovering a new life before Sunday. Things will happen that will be supernatural. You'll have no explanation for other than the fact that God's living his life through you. That's what you said you wanted, right? Okay. So how does this happen on a daily basis? Very practically. Number one, you have to be born from above. I can't stress that enough. You say, well, I am. I'm born again. Good. Maybe somebody here tonight's not. I don't know. You have to be born from above. That's a mysterious thing. That means that you have to experience a supernatural birth that by inviting Christ into your life to be your Lord and your Savior and trusting he's going to cancel out, crucify, pay for in full all your sin forever with his death on the cross 2,000 years ago. And by your faith in that, you open the door for now his spirit to come in and reside in you and show you a whole new way of living. So you must be born from above. Number two, you must learn about Jesus. Learn about him. Number three, we must listen to him. We must listen to him. Number four, we must learn to trust him. We must let him live his life, his way, through us. Now, four things I just said. If any of those things that I just said is not happening in your life, you're not living the Christian life. You're living your life, but you're not living the Christian life. You're missing out. After you're born again, you learn about him. Number one, you learn about him. How? Scripture says this in Proverbs 4. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For their life to all who find them. Their health to all their body. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What this is saying is, in God's word, he's saying, pay attention. We want to learn about him. We have to pay attention. Pay attention to his word. Pay attention to his word. And notice, this is like training. God is saying to us, put my word in your ears. Put my word in your eyes. Put my word in your heart. Put my word in your mouth. You need this word. The word of God is alive, and the word of God is God's will for your life. And you must have training time with the word. It's routine. There needs to be a time where you say, I meet with God on a daily basis. If it's early in the morning, that'd probably be better before your day begins. Or late at night, whatever it is. But make sure you have a routine, a time that you spend with God, that you block off and you don't allow interruptions. And you put God's word before you, and you put it in your eyes, you put it in your ears, speak it to yourself, you put it in your mouth, you put it in your heart, you dwell on it, you chew on it, you think about it. You're learning. That's how you're learning. You're absorbing. You learn about him. Learn about what God is really like, so that when you hear people testify or you hear people say things about God, because you've learned about him, you'll quickly know when somebody's saying something about God that's not true. And you'll know, because it bears witness with your spirit, when they are telling the truth. Because you have learned about him. Jesus said, learn of me. Learn of me. So how do you do that other than spending time with him in the word? I cannot stress this enough, and maybe I'm preaching to the choir, the wrong people today, but your priority every day should be, first of all, time with God in his word. You say, well, I'm not a good reader. Well, I understand that there's a way that you can listen to the Bible. Or it's not how much you read. It's just the fact that you take time to read maybe one sentence and you feed on that. So training is something you do over and over and over and over again. It's routine. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'd like to know, if I was just talking to you one-on-one, I would ask you, do you already have a daily quiet time with God? If not, start. Just start. Just start, because it's important. That's the only way you're going to learn about him. Number two, you listen to him. You listen to Jesus. How can you listen to the invisible God? You can be hearing something and not paying attention. Like right now. You may be hearing me, but not really paying attention. Or, you know, you can be watching TV and not really paying attention to it or whatever. I don't think most people recognize the way God's speaking to them most of the time. I don't think most people recognize it. I want to share with you, just from the heart, some things that I am learning about listening to God that may help you. Some things I'm learning about listening to God that may help you. Number one, this is what I'm learning. You can't be in a hurry and pay attention to God. That's just me. I can't be in a hurry and listen to God. God's not in a hurry. And I don't care if I am. He's not in a hurry. He's on a different frequency than hurry. And I have discovered, for me, I cannot listen to God if I'm in a hurry. The other day, I was driving with my son, and by the way, he's got a job. I think I told you that last week. Thank God. That's why he's not here on Wednesday night. He's just getting off from work. And my wife has to pick him up. So she, you know, but that's a good thing. We're thankful for that. But the other day, I was taking Andrew last week somewhere. We were on our way to an appointment. And we needed to get to this appointment. And while we're going on the road, in traffic, there was a car that's broke down beside us, and there's a lady there, and she had the hood up, and there's lots of cars going by and stuff like that. Andrew said, "Dad, we ought to stop and see if she needs some help." I said, "We're late for an appointment," and I kept on going. I'm telling you this. What if I missed a God appointment? Or what if it was just a test, even if we pulled over and said, "Ma'am, do you need any help?" And she says, "No, I got AAA coming," whatever. That's fine. We would have passed the test. But I'm telling you this because I'm learning myself that we have to allow what we think are interruptions in our life and have some margin in our life. God knows we have appointments, and He knows we got things to do. But if we knew that an interruption was from God, would we allow it? Well, sure we would. But we don't think that that's possibly could be God involved in that. One of my favorite quotes is from a Catholic priest, Henry Nouwen, who's passed away. And he said this, "I used to complain about all the interruptions to my work until I realized these interruptions were my work." Man, that slaps me in the face. Like, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. You're not going to recognize the still small voice of God if you have pre-planned your day without any margin for God to have interruptions. Good Samaritan is a good example of that parable. So I'm just telling you, that's for me. Maybe you might glean from that. Some things I'm learning about listening for God's voice. You can't be in a hurry. One pastor who had lived a great life and had a great ministry was asked by a lot of young pastors who were starting in ministry, "What's the secret of having a great ministry?" And he said these words that have been quoted by many people over and over. He said this to all these young pastors, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." I have not learned how to do that yet. I'm learning, though, because it is an absolute essential to learning to hear the voice of God. You say, "Now, how do I do that in my business, Mike? Because I got appointments. I've got to be here. I'm an electrician. I got up here. No, God understands all that. God understands all that. But it's like anybody else. I got appointments. I got to be here. I got to be here. God knows all that. But what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to realize God's not in a hurry. So why am I? Am I that important? If God's not in a hurry, do I think I'm that important? I need to slow down. Number two, some things I'm learning about listening for God's voice. Number two, simplify. Declutter your life as much as possible. Simplify. Number two, if you can put that up. Maybe that's not up there. I'm sorry. Simplify. Declutter your life as much as possible. God knows what you have to do on your to-do list. Don't add burdens. This is for me now. Don't add burdens He's not asking you to take on. We're not here to fix everybody's problems. But there are some people's problems we are here to fix. And they're important, and God has assigned us to help them carry that burden, and that's what we're supposed to do, and He gives us grace to do it. But if He hasn't given us the grace to do it, if He hasn't assigned us to do it, then we don't need to take on more tasks than, you know, be careful about volunteering to do everything. No is not a bad word. No, I can't do that. It's not a bad word. If it's from the Lord. A wise counselor told me, he says, "Live in the freedom of what you can do, not in the bondage of what you can't do." I can't fix everything, but there are some things I can do. A couple of years ago, and I've shared with this, those of you who've been regular here, you've heard this before, but I was on my way to a prayer retreat to have solitude with God, and I was driving to Titusville, and I got out here right on the turnpike, right here on the Wildwood exit. And I had my notepad opened over here while I'm driving. And I had a little tape recorder with me, and you know, I'm living between, okay, well, I've got to be ready for Sunday, you know, and I've got to have next Wednesday, and that's how pastors live. It's just, you know, even when you go on vacation, you're thinking that way. Your life is bookend with that. But, now hold on, okay. I put pressure on myself to have messages, teachings for Wednesday and Sunday. And so I'm going away on a prayer retreat, and I heard, not audibly, but it's one of those times where you hear God so clear that you unmistakably know it's the Lord, because I wouldn't even think of expressing it that way. And the words were this to me from the Holy Spirit. It shocked me. I had to pull off the side of the road. He said, should preaching be your priority? No. I'm going away to have a time alone with God. Should preaching be your priority? Is that what your life's all about? No, my priority should be to listen to Him. Your priority as a Christian should be to listen to Him. Listen. So I don't hear anything. No, hang on. Time alone with God, reading the Word, just paying attention to what's going on around you, people talking to you, interruptions in your life, all these things are coming together, could be the voice of God talking to you. So for me, is the Lord bringing a correction that I desperately need. And it is this. My priority should not be preaching and teaching. My priority should be listening to Him. I don't care if I'm a plumber, if I'm a preacher, if I'm an electrician, I'm a garbage man, I'm a maintenance guy. It doesn't matter. That's my priority. That should be your priority. I believe that. You should say amen, even if you don't believe it, because your preacher is telling you that should be your priority of your life. Is time alone with God. Now, okay, now, preacher, now, all right, what are you going to do about Sunday? What are you going to do about Wednesday? You have a responsibility. Yeah. Can I trust Him? Or do I trust myself? Well, I got to get this message ready. No. Can I trust Him even if He decides not to give me anything until the last minute? Well, God, I'm going to look like a total fool to get up there and not have anything prepared. Well, really? Is that what you're concerned about? What people are going to think about you? Is that your priority? You see how driven we can be. What if He doesn't want me to preach Sunday? I've had that happen, and I had a hellacious week because I'm trying to put together a message and I ain't getting anything. And preacher, we're going to put something together. Even if God's not in it, we're going to have something ready. It's that bad. It's a terrible addiction. And so I scrambled and I got something together. I wasn't excited about it, but I had something together and come in here, and sure enough, we had a praise service breakout, and I didn't need to preach one bit. It's all week long, God's trying to tell me, what are you in all a huff about? Can you trust me or not? I'm telling you, I'm learning to listen. What else do I need to be able to hear from God? What do you need to hear from God? Number three, you need faith. Faith. Trust that you will hear Him. You do hear Him. You will hear Him. I know there are people saying right here tonight, I wish I could hear Him. No, no. You do and you will. Faith. Faith. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You do. If you're born again, you're His sheep. You do hear his voice. The problem is you're not recognizing it. I guarantee you, you hear his voice because he said so. Someone calls you on the phone, and if it's not someone you talk to on a frequent basis and they don't identify themselves, you may have to say, "Who is this?" And they may act kind of surprised, but you know, if you don't talk on a regular basis on the phone, you don't have that voice recognition. Jesus' voice, you hear it. But let me tell you something, listen closely. Jesus' voice is not a deep bass voice. It's not a deep baritone voice. It's not even an audible voice. Now, some people have heard the audible voice of God. I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying for us listening tonight and learning to hear his voice, it's not an audible voice. Because deaf people hear him. Pam's got a deaf brother. And she can do sign language, but not the kind of sign language that, you know, it's the flowing kind. She has to spell out every word. And years ago, we felt that we had to share the gospel with him. So it took us about an hour, but she had to spell out every word when I was trying to explain to him the whole gospel. She had to spell out every word, which is hard on her and hard on him. But he got it, and he received the Lord. And today, he hears the voice of God. He's deaf. He hears the voice of God. He'll tell you. So it's not a sound like. The voice of God is like a thought. A thought that is so fast, it's like a wisp of breeze of wind that'll pass you by so quickly and so subtly, so softly that you won't even recognize that was God until maybe afterwards. You go, oh. You could miss it. And I would say to you, if you say you think you're having trouble hearing God, you're not having trouble hearing God, you're having trouble recognizing what God is saying and showing you. Please do this week, if you want to be serious about hearing God. Go to Dollar Tree or Dollar General for 50 cents, buy you a little journal. 50 cents. Keep it with you just about everywhere you go. Whenever you think that God may be saying something to you, you hear something that just captures your attention. You see a sign that just speaks to you for some reason. You hear a song and just something in it just grabs your attention for some reason. You don't even know why. Just 50 cent journal, write it down. I mean, this is, just write it down. You're not writing to be a writer. You're not writing so someone can read it. This is just for you. You're writing down little wind whispers, little wisp that you think may be God. You're not even 100% sure maybe, but you write it down and you capture it. Why? Because your memory's not that good. I'm not demeaning your memory. The faintest ink is stronger than the strongest memory. Write it down. You can go back later and ponder it. This is why journaling is so important. And I don't mean journaling for other people to read. This is just for you. You don't worry about your spelling. You don't worry about your grammar. You don't worry about what it looks like. It's not for anybody to read, but just you. If you're serious about hearing God, please, I'm telling you, this has helped me more than anything I know. I've done it for years. I used to do it on a computer. Now I'm doing it by hand because I think it even slows me down more. Print. Write in a little journal. And you will start recognizing God. I guarantee you. Guarantee you. Because he's talking to you. But you're not capturing it. And the breeze has gone by. You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. And it's something you need. If it's coming from him, it's something you need. Just write it down. You say, my spelling's not good. Doesn't matter. Just write it down. It's just for you. writing. When I get up in the morning, I get a cup of coffee and I go out and sit on the back porch, and about 6:30 in the morning, and it's quiet. And I take this journal. First, I thank God for the new day. Thank Him for the sleep. And I thank Him for the opportunity to meet Him. I thank Him for a fresh start. I thank Him for mercy. I thank Him that He's forgiven me. I just take time just thanking Him. And I sit down in His little chair. Before I open the Word, I just put on a fresh page. I put down the date, Wednesday, 8/8/18. Sometimes I start writing right away, something just I had in my mind, my thoughts while I was sleeping. Or first thing when I got up in the morning, sometimes a song was there in my mind. I'll just write that down. This morning I wrote down, Lord, I'm asking to hear Your clear voice and to see Your clear directions for me. And I wrote down a bunch of other stuff. I just writing down in my heart. Write it down. I'll just be still for a while. I'll watch birds in the trees, insects flying around. Just enjoy God's creation. Sometimes God kind of show you something or talk to you through something like that. You'd be surprised. But I'm paying attention. I'm listening. I'm giving God the opportunity. At the beginning of the day, He's got my full attention. He can talk to me through creation. He can talk to me through a still small voice. He can talk to me through Scripture. And then I'll get my Bible and I'll start reading where I picked up yesterday and start reading until I get something. It's like fishing. You fish till you get something. And when you get something, you write it down. Oh, that spoke to me. Oh, that verse of Scripture. Yeah, I recognize God's been talking to me about that. And I'll write that down. And I just put that in my record that I believe God's talking to me through that. Now, don't try to be a writer. Just write your true thoughts as you spend time with Him. Please do this for you. Because God loves you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. Don't you think if He sent His Son to die for you that He wants to talk to you? He didn't just talk to preachers. He talks to you. He talks to you. And so I don't want you to miss that. I don't think there would be a greater tragedy in your life than to let a day go by and not to have heard anything from the Lord. Number four, I'm learning to listen to God. Here's some things that help me. Number four, practice solitude, stillness. That's what I'm doing early in the morning. That's what I urge you to do. Practice solitude, stillness. Jesus did this. Mark 1:35, in the morning, rising up a great while before sunrise, Jesus went and departed to a solitary place. Everybody say solitary. You need a solitary place. Do you have a solitary place? You need one. And there he prayed. I want you to notice, you can go look back later, that prior to this verse and after this verse is a lot of action. Prior to this verse, Mark 1:35, before he found the solitary place, Jesus was healing people. He's casting out devils. I mean, there's a lot of action going on. After this verse, Peter runs up to him and says, where have you been? Everybody looking for you. Come on. So I want you to notice, tucked away between a lot of action and busyness is this verse telling us the secret to live the Christian life is first to have solitude between you and God. Jesus got alone with the Father to hear what the Father had to say. But the Father to show him, this is what I have for you today. This is what you're going to encounter. The secret of the Christian life is revealed right here. Solitary time alone with God. That's where ministry is conceived. For me, Now, that's where messages are conceived from. They don't come out of sermon books. They don't come from watching T.D. Jakes. They come out of time alone with God. And I string it together and trust Him to make some sense out of it, because sometimes it doesn't look like it makes any sense to me, and then get up here and deliver it, and then trust Him to bring words and thoughts and illustrations out that I hadn't even thought of. And He does. Practice solitude. Number five, this is how I'm learning to hear God. And I urge you. Number five, don't harden your heart. Pay close attention to this. Don't harden your heart. Three places in Scripture warns believers, don't harden your heart. Andrew Womack has probably the greatest book and teaching on this that I've seen. And I gleaned what I'm about to tell you from his book that helped me years ago about a hardened heart. You say, what is a hardened heart? A hard heart dulls your ability to hear or recognize that God's speaking. A hard heart just dulls your ability to recognize God's talking to you. You just don't recognize it. Look at this. Mark chapter 8. Jesus said to his disciples, why do you reason that you have no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes you don't see, having ears you don't hear. Do you not remember that I broke five loaves and fed 5,000? And how many baskets full of pieces were there to collect? Now, Jesus is pointing out something that's vital for us to grab hold of. He's pointing out that a hard heart happens when you don't take time to recognize or consider the ways that God has already spoken to you. You don't recognize or consider the ways He's already been showing you things and saying things to you. Not long after this, the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water. Remember, He constrained them. He said, now get in the boat and go to the other side. They didn't want to get in the boat and go there. He constrained them. Basically, He ordered them, commanded them, get in the boat, go on the other side. I'll meet you over there later. They get out there. What happens? A storm comes. And next thing they know, they see Jesus walking on the water. And they freak out. Not just because He's walking on the water. They freak out because it says they're astonished. Jesus said, it's me. Don't be afraid. And then when He went inside the boat, the wind ceased. And they were astonished. And notice what Scripture says. Very important for you to get this. Beyond measure and wondered, why? For, say it with me, for they. The reason they just saw a miracle. With five loaves, two fishes, Jesus fed probably 15,000 people. They only probably numbered the men. So they said 5,000. So Jesus probably fed 15,000 people. They just saw that. And then He tells them, get in the boat. And then they saw a miracle. And then they see Him walking on the water. He's the one that told them to get in the boat. He is the one responsible for their safety. He is the one responsible for the storm. He comes walking on the water and they are blown away, because they didn't consider the miracle that they just saw. The point is this. They shouldn't have, maybe a little astonished, sure, to see somebody walking on the water, but not blown away like they were. Just blown away. They were dumbfounded by this. But they just saw a miracle that Jesus did. Now they're seeing another miracle, and they're just blown away like they never saw Him do anything before. Are you following what I'm saying? He's pointing out something. Jesus said, don't you remember? He says. He's pointing out that a hard heart happens when you don't consider what God is showing you or has been showing you. It happens to believers who are just not paying attention. What determines if your heart becomes hardened? If you're considering and paying attention to the things God's showing you in your day and your week, then your heart won't become hard. That's why your pastor is urging you, please get a journal. Please carry it with you. Carry it to church with you. Keep it in your car with you as much as possible. Write down little things that you think God's saying to you. Years ago, I remember that when you would come to a railroad track, that's what you saw. How many of you old timers remember that, right? Stop, look, and listen. This is what God's saying to us tonight. He said, I'm talking to you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I am communicating to you. You're just not recognizing. So I want you to think about, while you have a few moments right now, consider your week so far. That's why you need this right now. So you could consider your week. You could go, what about people I met this week? It crossed my path. What about some interruptions that happened in my life this week that I didn't expect? What are some messages that I knew God was talking to me through this week that I've heard? What are some scriptures that I know God talking to me through a scripture this week? This is what I heard. I recognize His voice. That just stays with me. Some things you read, maybe a movie you watched, and you just kind of, you caught something, a song you heard. And these are things that you think that God may be showing you or saying to you. Now, I want to warn you. The disciples failed to consider the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Their hearts were becoming hard. They were not considering what God was showing them. What God was saying to them, and their hearts were becoming hard. If you're not serious about paying attention to God in your day, your heart's becoming hardened already. You won't recognize it. You won't recognize it. Control what you consider, and you control your emotions. If you control what you consider, you'll control your emotions. Most people don't operate that way. They don't take time to consider. They don't take time to pay attention what God may be showing them. And that's why you need to get a 50-cent journal and an ink pen. One last scripture. Psalm 39, verse 3. Psalm 39, verse 3. My heart grew hot within me as I mused, the fire burned. My heart grew hot within me as I mused, the fire burned. Muse means to consider, means to ponder, means to think about. Rethink something. It's interesting that the word amusement means not to think. We have to have a lot of amusement. Television is an amusement. You don't have to think. You can sit there and just... And there's a time and place for that. It's kind of nice sometimes just not to have to think. But God has intended for us to be people. We're created to muse. We're created to think. We're created to ponder the things of God. Life is flying by. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You and I cannot afford to miss any more things that God is saying or showing. We can't afford to do that. Keep a journal. Pay attention. Write down little notes. And then go back and review. Usually that's part of my morning. I go back over the last couple days and I review. I look over some things. And then I begin to see a consistency of what God's been trying to show me. I go, wow, okay, there it is. Clear as day. And ponder. And as you ponder, meditate on the things that you think God's speaking to you, showing you about, the fire of God will burn inside your heart. Why? He wants to teach you things, John. He's going to teach you how to write that story. His way. You don't need to listen to anybody else. You have the teacher who lives inside you. Don't get discouraged. Just write it his way. He wants to teach you. And he talks to you every day. I guarantee it. He loves you so much that he gave his only son. Don't you think he talks to you every day? Yeah, he does. If you listen. Some opportunities will come when you hand out these little cards. There was a lady, a grandma, sat right up here Sunday morning with her two grandchildren. And this grandma is raising these two grandkids. Her son's a meth addict. And they were here for the first time Sunday morning because somebody gave them a card. And they said, I want to go. And it happened to be a former meth addict that invited them, my son. He's worked. And it might be God's telling you to give it to somebody this week. If you'll listen, you'll have a divine appointment, and they will too. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. I pray that people be encouraged and be taught and instructed, being helped to listen to you because you are talking. And we can hear you if we'll pay attention. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.